Good morning. We gather in God's name and in His presence to worship Him. Let us join together in that. I was reading my morning reading. I've been going through Job lately, which is, you know, a great way to start the day, huh? Yeah, the trials, the tribulations. But in the midst of that, today I got to chapter 19. And in the midst of all that Job is going through, these horrific things which are unimaginable. I mean, it's very graphic. It's a big bummer for him. Words can't express it. But as he's going through this, I hit 19, verses 25 through 27, where in the midst of this, he says, I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end, he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh, I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes. I and not another. How my heart yearns within me. He's looking forward to that. And aren't we all? Aren't we all? But what a reminder in the midst of his trouble, just to know that his Redeemer lives and that he would someday see God face to face. Wow. At the funeral on Thursday too. It's just, yeah. Someday we will see God face to face, as, you know, as Janie has done now. And what joy in the midst of, you know, the turmoil and everything else. There is still joy. So anyway, let us start with our readings here today.
Our first reading today is from 2 Peter 3, 10 through 18. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, and elements will be destroyed by fire. And the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort as they do the other scriptures to their own destruction. Therefore, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of the lawless and fall from your secure position. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Our second lesson is from 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 through 11. Now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that, whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Here ends the lesson.
Please rise if you're able for the reading of the gospel. Today's gospel is found in Matthew chapter 24, verses 1 through 14. Jesus left the temple and was walking away when his disciples came up to him to call his attention to his buildings. "Do you see all these things?" he asked. "Truly I tell you, not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down." As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. "Tell us," they said, "when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" Jesus answered, "Watch out that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah, and will deceive many. You'll hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There'll be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. Then you'll be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you'll be hated by all the nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." You may be seated. Any kids want to head out for children's church? You're welcome to at this time and follow Jill and Maya. Wonderful. All right, let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your presence, and we thank you that you are faithful no matter what, always true to your promises. May these words speak to us today, Lord, and change us, that we may be more like you and represent you faithfully to this world around us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, all three readings today had to deal with the theme or the topic of the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord, you read in the Old Testament, the prophets, indeed eight of them, refer to the day of the Lord. And the way they do it is with this imagery of terror, of destruction, of this retribution, of judgment. I mean, it's not a happy thing when you read through it. I mean, you go, whoa, okay, God's coming back and he's not happy. Okay, well, that is true. He is coming back, but I don't know, the happiness part. In the New Testament, it takes on a different flavor and a different twist. We're looking forward to it as believers, of course. For those that are not believers, when that day comes, it will be a day of judgment and terror. For us, it's getting to meet God. I mean, and we look forward to it. So it's this interesting contrast in between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Indeed, just apart from Zephaniah here, one of the Old Testament prophets there, the minor prophets, they've got a lot of good stuff. And they come with, you know, the judgment of the Lord, but then they always end their book there with, you know, the positives and things to look forward to as well. When I read to them, I look forward to getting to that last chapter where you get to hear the positives. But here's the description of the great day of the Lord from Zephaniah. "The great day of the Lord is near, near and coming quickly. Listen, the cry in the day of the Lord will be bitter, the shouting of the warrior there. That day will be a day of wrath, a day of distress and anguish, a day of trouble and ruin, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and blackness, a day of trumpet and battle cry against the fortified cities and against the corner towers. I will bring distress on the people, and they will walk like blind men because they have sinned against the Lord. Their blood will be poured out like dust, and their entrails like filth. Neither their silver nor their gold will be able to save them on the day of the Lord's wrath. In the fire of his jealousy, the whole world will be consumed, for he'll make a sudden end of all who live in the earth." Wow, you can imagine the people hearing that. It's a wake-up call, all right? And it should be for us as well, too, right? Are we living in the right way? Are we representing him faithfully? Are we walking in his ways? Are we loving others the way Jesus did? But the imagery here, and the descriptive terms, a day of wrath, distress, anguish, trouble, ruin, darkness, gloom, clouds, blackness, right? The Lord's wrath, the whole world being consumed and a sudden end. Yeah, I'm sure that got people's attention, or I hope it did. But many probably did not take it seriously. Do we see the same thing today? Many not taking God's word seriously. In the midst of that, our job is to stand firm, of course, but to help others to see it, to understand it, and to know how real it is. People, culture, and societies start to get into think they know better than God, that we can make up our own rules, do our own thing. No, God knows better, and we as believers know that. We know that, and Peter did as well. So in his final section of his final letter, he's putting it out there. He's telling them, he's going through a lot of things. That these two letters have been a pep talk. We've been going through them since Easter, and today we come to the end of 2 Peter. And it's been full of encouragement on how we should live as believers, how we should reach out to others, and a lot of reminders as well. But in this last part, he's talking about what's coming, the day of the Lord. So it is a reminder to us as well. The day of the Lord will come like a thief. A thief in planning a robbery is going to try to find a time, I suppose, when people are asleep, they're not on watch, and they can slide in there easily, you know, and do the evil that they came to do. Let us not be found asleep. Let us be awake and alert. That's what he's telling us here, right? Be sober and alert. Watch, be on the watch. Because this is coming. Maybe in our lifetime. And again, like I said last Sunday, I think that would be sort of cool if it did. I would just love to see Jesus coming back while I'm still alive. How cool would that be? But if not, it'll happen eventually. So our descendants, hopefully, will be alert. And they'll be watching for it. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire. And the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. So fire is going to come and consume everything. He says that twice in this reading today. Last time it was water. Okay, in the days of Noah, people were starting to stray from the Lord in a big way. Only Noah and his sons and their wives were found to be worthy, and they were saved. But everything is destroyed by water. This time it's by fire. It's sort of like the opposite. But the fire is going to melt everything. But I guess that's only fitting, because we're going to have a new heaven and a new earth, right? We have to get rid of the old before you make something new. So God's going to use fire then to destroy everything. I mean, I like Pope County. I like, you know, the little strip of woods where my deer stand is and stuff like that. I think it's beautiful. Got a nice lake here and everything like that. Eventually, okay, yeah, gone completely. And it's going to happen. Okay, it's right here in the Bible. There's no doubt about it. So yeah, it's interesting to think about. And perhaps a little, you know, scary too, but something better is coming. That's the cool part. As much as I love my deer stand in that little strip of woods, something better is coming that I can look forward to. And that's great to know. All right, but what's our response? Since everything will be destroyed in this way, and it will, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. So in the meantime, in the waiting, we are to be holy and godly. We are to set an example for the rest of the world. Hey, this is the way a Christian should live. Each of us, in our own lives, in our own little sphere of influence, we get to affect other people every day. And you never know how many people you affect. It's, yeah. And not only by what you say, but more importantly, perhaps by what you do. We have a chance to represent God every day in our daily living and to reach people with that. So we have to live that holy and godly lives. We have to be steadfast in it. Alrighty. That they will bring about destruction of the heavens by fire. Yes, he's reiterating it here. So this is driving it home. And the elements will melt in the heat. The elements will melt. Okay, I start thinking chemical elements. Even tungsten's going to melt. Okay, some things with high melting points. It doesn't matter what they are. They're all going to be melted. Okay. But in keeping with this promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. So yes, again, just sort of reiterating and driving it home. Okay, verse 14. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, looking forward to it, the destruction of everything, I mean, Okay. But it's not really the destruction we're looking for. It's the second coming. It's Jesus coming back. That we can look forward to. And that should get us fired up. I mean, to be able to finally see him face to face. Wow. Wow. That's, I can only imagine. It's going to be so cool. And we all get to experience that. Even the non-believers get to experience that, but it'll be a very different experience for them. Unfortunately, there's a lot of people that yet to be reached around us and around the world. Even in our neighborhoods, there are many that don't take this seriously or believe it. How can we reach them? That's something that just I'm always thinking about. And Lord, give us new and creative ways to help reach people, Lord, for their good and for the kingdom, that we can build them up and spread it even more. Let that be our prayer, huh? Okay. Make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Okay, spotless and blameless, that's a pretty tall order. We are human after all. But we can keep trying. We know that, okay? We can keep trying. We have already turned from our old ways when we're born again. We have given up that lifestyle of sin. We're still going to have what shall we call the oopsies or something where you sin, okay? But we're not intentionally living against God and his will. We've been freed from that. We've been set free. So yeah, we won't be totally spotless and blameless, but hey, we're going to do the best we can to represent him faithfully. All right, bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation. We heard that last Sunday, that he is patient. It is not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, and thus to eternal life and salvation. So God's good about being patient, yes. All right, he mentions Paul in here, that people sometimes are ignorant and unstable people to distort the scriptures to their own destruction. And we addressed that a couple Sundays ago with the false teachers. Okay, misleading many, distorting, twisting verses to mislead people intentionally. Bad news. Okay, verse 17 though. Therefore, dear friends, since you already know this, be on your guard. Be aware of it, so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position. Don't get carried away by other teachings, by other ideas, by other things. Stand firm in God. Trust in him. That's what he's telling us. Alrighty. But grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Continue to grow. Don't become stagnant in your faith, he's saying. Continue to grow. Spend time in the Word. Spend time with other believers. Build your faith, okay? Make your faith even more mature, even more sure. And then you can help others as well. Alrighty. And to him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Okay. And that's how Peter ends it, right there. Giving God the glory. It's the only fitting that he should. What happened next? We don't really know. We have the historians' accounts of the time, or the traditional accounts, some written like 100 years after his death. We knew he died in about 64 AD, probably in Rome. We're pretty sure of that. Other historians recorded that he was crucified, and that he has to be crucified upside down, because he did not count himself worthy to be crucified in the same manner as Christ. And if you go to Rome today or the Vatican, you'll see a spot. There's a big pillar there right in the middle of St. Peter's Square, which is actually a circle in the Vatican, okay, where this obelisk stands, and they say that is the site where it happened. And then if you go forward a little bit further, there's St. Peter's Basilica, this big church that they built, and that's where they say he was buried. They've done excavations under it. They found bodies, and one that they think is his perhaps as well. But again, we're not sure, and again, that's not the point, right? It's all about God, not about Peter. He was a willing servant, just as we ought to be. His testimony then carries on in his letters here in the accounts of what he did in Acts after the resurrection. He, along with Paul, were like the two super apostles, the two super missionaries that went out and brought the message to many people. So it's interesting that we've studied the life of Peter. We studied this impulsive guy that was, you know, always out there and would act before he would think, and he was first to jump out of the boat to try to walk on water, to try to tell Jesus what to do. You know, I'll never deny you. And found out that he did. Okay. But then as he matured, maybe the impulsivity was reined back a little bit, and now he is out there preaching the gospel and bringing it to many, many people. So this day of the Lord, the idea has been around since the Old Testament. Peter uses it as one of the last things here that we need to look forward to it, and Paul mentions it a number of times as well. We'd heard that in Thessalonians today. In Paul's letter to those in Thessalonica, he wrote two letters there that we have as well. So in 1 Thessalonians here, he's reminding them again, he's using that same imagery that Peter did. The day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night when it's unexpected. While people are saying peace and safety, you know, things are going good, okay? We're not even thinking about it so much. When things are going good, we don't always stop and think about these things, about the second coming. But yeah, it's going to happen, and it's going to catch us unawares. It's going to come like that thief in the night. You're going to be going about your daily business. You're going to work, or else you're driving into town to get groceries or something like that, and all of a sudden, boom, you know, there it is. Yeah, so be prepared at all times is the key here. Because you don't know when it's going to happen. It might be while you're sleeping. Who knows? You wake up in the middle of the night. It's not your alarm clock, okay? It's trumpets, and it's clouds, and it's, you know, this bright light. And here we go. Yeah. Okay. So we don't know. I suppose, you know, half of the earth will be at night, and the other half will be a day. You know, just looking at it, it has to be that way. And it's going to be everywhere at once, which is sort of cool. Because God has no limits. But I don't know, I just look forward to that. And as a believer, I can. Okay, we can look forward to that with confidence, with assurance, and with hope, and with joy. We can look forward to it with those things. Alrighty, because we're not in darkness. That's what he says in verse 4 here. Paul says, but you, brothers, are not in darkness, so this day should surprise you like a thief. You're all sons of the light. And sons of the day, we do not belong to the night or to the darkness. All right, some of us used to, but then we had a life change. An encounter with God changed everything, and now we have come in as believers. Or maybe you're raised in the faith, but then you had an encounter with God that just left you changed, and you're just sort of born again, the Holy Spirit's taken root in you, and it just, this has a new meaning. It's not just what the stories you learn in Sunday school. It has a whole new meaning, and what a wonderful thing. So that just means that you are of the light and not of the darkness. We are in this world, surrounded by the darkness, absolutely, but we are a light in the darkness, a light to the darkness, shining forth with God's love, not ours. It's Him through us shining out, right? It's not what we do. We just offer ourselves up, Lord, use me today however you want, and He's going to shine through you. He's going to shine through you in that smile and that positive attitude and that hope that you have, while others are out there don't have hope. And you're walking around just smiling, not because it's blissful ignorance, okay? You're not smiling for that reason, but you're smiling because you know that God is good and that He cares and that you're living in relationship with Him. All right? So let us not be like the others who are asleep. We should look different as Christians, not like the rest of the world. Let us be alert and self-controlled. Again, we belong to the day. So let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate. Here he's talking like he did in Ephesians 6, the full armor of God. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We are on the winning side. All right. How did this happen? He follows up in verse 10. He died for us. That's it. So that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with Him. It's what He did. He died for us. We didn't earn it. We can't earn it. We can only accept what He has done for us. It's a grace that God gives us. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just in fact you are doing. Okay, so in the meantime, in the waiting, encourage and build each other up as Christians coming alongside others, encouraging them in their faith, living together in community. Again, what we do as Christians. Building each other up, not tearing people down. All right? Let us not do that. Let us be the ones to build others up. Even the people that get on your nerves sometimes, let us build them up. Remember raising the boys like that too. You know, and they would say something, you know, okay, no, we're here to build each other up, not tear others down. We got to keep it positive. Keep that positive mindset. Let God work through you to build others up. I want to be around people like that. Isn't it more fun to be around those that build others up rather than those that tear others down? Absolutely. Hang out with other Christians. Of course, you can hang out with the non-Christians too and, you know, bring them the good news. And that's part of what we do as well. We make connections within the community with those that are very different than ourselves many times. How else are we going to reach them if we don't make those connections? We don't avoid people. You see someone that believes differently or is living a different lifestyle. It's not that we should cross the street to avoid that. No, we should make connections. Share with them the hope that we have. How else are we going to reach them? If we keep on avoiding them, that's not going to do any good. We have to make those connections. Make sure that you don't get dragged down in the process, but absolutely reach out to people that are see things differently, live differently, that are not Christians. And that's, again, making that connections. Because how do they perceive Christians, perhaps? They've been mistreated by them. They've been condemned by them. Let us dispel that, okay? As people of Shalom and as people of God, let us dispel that image. Let us be welcoming. Let us be loving. Let us be reaching out intentionally to do that. So begin building each other up as believers, but also reaching out to others out there and helping to build them up as well, to give them that hope. For that day of the Lord is coming. We don't know when, but each of us has the opportunity to bring good news to others in the waiting and in the meantime. We're in the world, but not of the world, as they say. So keep that in mind. Don't condemn others just because they live different or believe different, but find ways to reach out to them. It's a challenge to each one of us. All right, that end of the age, then, the day of the Lord, Jesus also addressed it in the gospel today. He left the temple, was walking away, his disciples came up to him, calls attention to the buildings. And they were impressive. These big buildings, part of the temple complex. The temple itself, of course, standing there, but then you had the wall around that. Then you had the outer wall, which was huge. Okay, this outer wall had been constructed with some stones that weighed over 50 tons. Big blocks of limestone. They had been moved a mile from the quarry to get there, and luckily it was downhill. Okay, so they could sort of roll it part of the way and try to stay out of the way as this big thing's coming, guide it into position and put it in there. The ones that comprised the buildings that Jesus said would be torn down were only on the order of like 2 to 3 tons. That's still big, right? Without modern construction equipment, it's quite impressive. The techniques that they used to build like the pyramids and the Herod to build the temple here. And this was the second temple, Herod's temple, that was built by this guy that was just trying to appease the Jews and appease the Romans at the same time. He wasn't like a big believer. He probably wasn't doing it to God's glory. Herod had other motives, but he did build this beautiful temple where Jesus and others worshipped. Alrighty, so Jesus said that these not one stone will stand on another, and then about 40 years later, sure enough, AD 70, the Romans come in and crush everything, knock down the temple, and now the Temple Mount is still there. Some of the retaining walls that they built up is still there, all that fill, but there is now a Muslim, the Golden Dome right there on that rock. That rock then is where we believe that Abraham was going to sacrifice Isaac. And later on then became the site of the first temple and then the second temple and maybe a third temple someday. We'll see. All right. So later on, the Mount of Olives, they've gone through the Kidron Valley up to the Mount of Olives, just hanging there. And then the disciples say, hey, tell us the rest of the story. What do you mean about everything being torn down and being this day of the Lord? So then Jesus takes the opportunity to tell them that many will come to try to deceive them, false teachers, absolutely, that they will be persecuted. And again, the disciples, 11 out of the 12, were martyred, put to death, hated by all the nations because of him. He's telling them things aren't always going to be easy, but it's worth it. It won't always be easy, but it's worth it. Good words to remember there. And he said the signs that would precede this as well. There will be wars and rumors of wars. See to it that you're not alarmed. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, famines and earthquakes in various places. Just the beginning of the birth pains. We see that happening today, but hasn't that happened in every century? That there's been wars, that there's been earthquakes, that there's been famines? Absolutely. Okay? And it continues to happen. But again, it's telling us that the second coming could be at any time when we least expect it. So these signs are already happening. And if you look into some of the signs later on in Matthew 24 and you look at things happening today, you go, whoa, it is getting closer. If nothing else, mathematically, every day is a day closer. Okay? It's going to happen on the day that the Lord is set. We don't know the time or the hour, but every day is a day closer towards it. We are moving closer and closer. And it is real, and it will happen. Okay. So you'll be handed over to be persecuted. Not us so much, luckily, living here in the U.S. We don't experience that. Maybe some minor persecution. We can be called things for being believers, but you know, our physical lives are not in danger. We're blessed in that way. Many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Yes, we taught about that. The love of most will grow cold. Not a good thing to live in a world where there's not a lot of love, okay? But verse 13, he who stands firm to the end will be saved. He who stands firm to the end. And that is one thing we can do is stand firm. Stand firm. I mean, that's something that we should have written over the doorway as we exit every day, Sunday, just to look to stand firm. A reminder to stand firm. When the world's going crazy, we stand firm. As believers, we stand firm. We stand firm on the Word of God. We stand firm on His promises. We stand firm as believers. In our faith, we stand firm. We're not going to give in. We're not going to compromise. We are going to engage with the world around us. Absolutely. Let's engage with the world around us. But we cannot compromise our faith. Stand firm. No matter what, stand firm. All right. He who stands firm to the end will be saved. And yeah, there we go. To be saved, we must stand firm. And this gospel, the kingdom, will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. The gospel has been preached in most nations now. There are some people groups that have not heard yet, but missionaries are advancing, and we are making that happen there. But again, another requirement that has to be fulfilled. We're pretty near there. Alrighty, so we don't know when, but every day is a day closer. Stand firm. Reach out. Help others. As ambassadors for Christ, help others so that they may come to belief as well. Show them the way of love, not judgment. Reach out in love. Engage. Help others. But in the process, still stand firm. Yeah, we're going to have to meet with these people and stuff like that, but we... And that's the trouble. The hard part is not to approve of what they're doing. We got to stand firm, but we still have to come alongside. We still have to love. So Lord, help us to find that balance. Again, help us to walk that tightrope, that we can do it faithfully, that we can stand firm for you while reaching out to others. Your model, Lord, Jesus, when you walk this earth, you're eating with, you know, those that desperately needed you, the sinners, the tax collectors, and so forth. Lord, equip us and help us to do that. To reach out to these people, but not to compromise our faith and to stand firm to the end. Let us not be moved. Amen.